In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are more than 14 months away from the presidential election. Already, several candidates have declared their interest in being president. Although they all disagree on just about everything, there are a few things that they all agree on. They all agree that if you vote for them, it will be the best thing possible for the economy, for the educational system, and for our national defense. No candidate ever promises a stagnant economy or an inadequate educational system or a weak defense. They might be more honest if they did, but they don't. What if you had a serious illness and your primary care provider sent you to a specialist? Not the top person in the field, but someone with the reputation of being fair to middling, and someone who used state-of-the-art equipment and medicines, but state-of-the-art 20 years ago. Would you be satisfied with that? Wouldn't you want the best doctor and the best therapy? People want the best health care available. When a child is born, a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a great-grandchild, what are your dreams for that child? Do you dream that he might be a great quarterback like the Bills' Josh Allen or a great gymnast like LSU's Olivia Dunn? Does anyone ever imagine their child to be a bench warmer on a losing team? I don't think so. Everyone wants the best for their children. In our gospel reading are two short parables that have to do with someone desiring something valuable and doing whatever was necessary to get that item. A merchant finds a pearl of great value and sells all that he has to buy it. Someone finds a treasure buried in a field and sells all he has to buy the field. The merchant was intentionally looking for fine pearls. We don't know if the person who found the treasure was intently looking for it or if they just blundered into it. Either way, they both knew something of enormous value when they saw it, and they took decisive action. Downright risky action, sacrificing everything they owned to attain that one thing that was above all others. What are you looking for in life? And would you know it if you found it? What to you is the pearl of great value that would bring you joy? What is your hidden treasure in a field that would make your life complete? Is your heart's desire wealth and financial security? Perhaps the thing that you want most in life is to impress someone, your parents, your teachers, your coaches, your coworkers. Maybe the most important thing in your life is something that you could buy on Amazon. Or maybe it's something you wouldn't want to say out loud in church. What do you think Jesus would say that your goal in life should be? What does Jesus say your heart's desire ought to be? Have you ever asked him to show you? When Jesus used the metaphors, a treasure hidden in a field and a pearl of great value, he wasn't thinking about something you could buy on Amazon, and he certainly wasn't thinking about something you wouldn't want to say out loud. At my age and at my current level of athletic prowess, and having never been elected to public office, it's probably time for me to give up my dual dreams of being an NFL quarterback and president of the United States. I figured the country could survive with 3 hours every Sunday when I played football. But seriously, this seems like a good time for me to ask myself and to ask God about the ultimate meaning and purpose of my life and the church that I serve. Actually, any time is a good time for us to take stock of our lives and consider our meaning and God's purpose for us and what our role, our place is in the Lord's church. Your answers and my answers might not be that different. I recall reading an interview years ago with a pastor of one of those ginormous mega churches. He said that the key to his success was preaching sermons that would teach people how to have financial success through good investments. He also gave tips on raising children and how to communicate in marriage and things like that. He said, if Dr. Phil is doing it, why shouldn't we? Well, for one thing, we're not Dr. Phil, we're Christ Church. He went on to say that he never talks about sin and forgiveness or struggle and sacrifice. There are no crosses in his auditorium. They're too depressing. What people like is the idea that Jesus is your buddy, and if you are just kind enough to invite him into your life, he will bless you by giving you all kinds of nice things to make you happy. That's not what Jesus is saying in the parables. The treasure and the pearl are not things you can buy on Amazon. The parables are about the kingdom of God. The kingdom is made up of many people, all of God's people together. God created families and nations and placed us in churches. The church is where we hear the word and receive the sacrament. God has a kingdom in heaven. There is also a kingdom on earth, which is the church, which is God's, until Christ comes again. There is a treasure, a pearl of great price in God's heavenly kingdom. In heaven, it is the Lamb on his throne who is Christ. Christ is likewise the treasure in the center of God's earthly kingdom. He loves us, forgives us, and will give us eternal life. As Christians, we recognize Christ as having value over and above anything and everything. As long as we are just looking for personal fame or wealth or power to give our lives meaning and make us complete, we will never be satisfied in this life. We will never experience the full joy of being part of God's kingdom. There is no substitute for Christ and the joy that only he can bring. We note that Christian joy and worldly happiness are not necessarily the same thing. Life in God's kingdom often involves struggle and sacrifice. Remember how the merchant had to sell everything he owned to buy the pearl of great value. He probably had some pearls that he was very fond of, some that had some sentimental meaning for him, but he had to sell those. He might have wondered to himself, am I doing the right thing? Maybe his friends told him that he was a fool to put all of his eggs in one basket, but he took the risk and received the kingdom. It must have also been like that for the man who bought the field with the treasure too. What he did took courage and commitment and probably some real back-breaking shoveling. Our labor, our struggle, and our sacrifices are part of God's kingdom on earth. Our experience of the kingdom here may include all that is necessary to procure and maintain what we have been blessed to find. Struggles aren't happy things to go through, but we can endure them joyfully, knowing that what they are leading to is what God wants us to find. We can be joyful living out God's purpose for us, even when the circumstances are bad. For instance, noted Lutheran composer and organist Johann Sebastian Bach had a daughter who died. He wrote in his journal, "Lord, do not take my joy away." What did he mean by that? Was he happy? No. His daughter had just died, and he was devastated. But deep down inside, he was still joyful because he knew that Christ was her Savior, that she was now resting peacefully in Jesus' arms, and that someday they would be reunited. Did we ever exactly say what God wants us to do in his earthly kingdom? He doesn't care much about wealth and fame, but God is quite concerned, though, that we worship him, we obey him, and that we serve his people. All the petty little things that we worry about in this life pale in comparison to the things of God. So, how do we live out our purposes of worshiping and serving? Essential to our Christian life is receiving Holy Communion. In the eating and drinking, we obey Christ's command to do this in remembrance of me. The sacrament makes us at one with Christ and unites us with his people. It is a foretaste of the worship that we will know in eternity as we worship the Lamb with unending praise at the everlasting messianic banquet. Your presence here today is a witness to others, your neighbors, your family, and your friends, that faith is important and that they need what you are receiving here too. Invite them to come along with you. That is the best service you can give them. Also, think of all of the things that you do for others. Christ in you might be the treasure, the pearl that someone really needs. Sometimes we don't know what we need until we find it. A person who knows his life is missing something, but doesn't know that it is Christ that is missing from his life, just might be found by him by what you say and do. So don't let the opportunity to do a good turn for another person pass you by. It might be a life-changing experience of biblical proportions for both of you.